Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature a conversation I recently recorded with a second-year student in our Executive MBA program, Diane Arose. We recently connected with Diane via Zoom, talked more about her background, her decision to pursue an MBA, and the impact of her Darden experience. You're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Diane Arose. Diane, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, before we dive into the sort of meat of the conversation, I want to just check in and see how you and your family are doing during this time.
Thank you so much for asking. We are doing the best we can, all things considered. I think we're just like everyone else, tasked with multitasking and trying to keep our kids busy. And it's been a challenge, but we're thankful that everyone is okay and healthy. Thank you for asking. Hope your family's well too.
Yeah, doing okay. Actually calling in from North Carolina, spending a little bit of time with my parents over the next few weeks. So it's nice to be back here in my hometown and to see my family. So this is going to be a chance for our listeners to learn more about you. As we talked about before, your background is such an interesting one. And I know our listeners will enjoy hearing more about sort of your decision to pursue an MBA and your Darden experience. So to kind of kick things off here, talk more about, you know, what you've done professionally and educationally up to the point of applying to Darden.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it. First of all, I would love to thank UVA for even entertaining me, because I really do have a slightly different background from folks who are typically pursuing an MBA. But to make a long story short, I really had a lifelong love of merging disciplines together. So I really had a strong background in design, and I started off in interior design, but I didn't stop there. I pursued a master's also in architecture with, you know, early on already seeing divisions between different disciplines. So, and even way back when I was doing interiors in New York, I also could understand the value that an MBA could play to even bring all of those disciplines together. So after having finished my master's in architecture and having studied interior design, went to Chicago and pursued high-rise design, both inside and out. Worked on some of the biggest projects in the world, leading teams. Even worked on the tallest building in the world, Burj Dubai. So I really, really dove in deep with challenging projects. And then in Chicago, even learning more about urban planning, engineering, MEP. So it was just a lifelong dream of being able to work on large teams with different folks. And the after quite a few years working on the design side, I really wanted to pursue that professional MBA side. I also wanted to switch to the owner side. So there was a big effort for me to now switch to the ownership side and understand their point of view. And right before that, I was graced with having the opportunity to design the UVA Darden space in Roslyn. So it's kind of intertwined with going back to school, having known the UVA faculty, trying to still be very open-minded when I was applying to places. But at the end of the day, UVA really gave me that. UVA was really a family to me, in an intense MBA, but a family setting. And I'm so glad I picked it. So now I'm on the owner side, and I'm using my MBA, really trying to understand both the needs of what an owner has, and also using my MBA to really communicate with clients and understanding better their points of view and where they're coming from. So it's really been a fabulous trip.
Diane, I'm curious about your work on Sands Family Grounds, our space in the Washington, D.C. area. I was hopeful, and I kind of figured we'd get into this. And you mentioned being able to work with many stakeholders at the Darden School on that project. What was that like from sort of start to finish working on that project? And of course, what's it now like as a student getting to, you know, spend time in that space, you know, learning there?
That's a fabulous question. I think it's almost a fate thing in the sense that having gone through the process with the Darden faculty and program managers and staff in order to collaboratively design Sands Grounds over in Roslyn was such a spectacular moment in my life. It turned out to be my favorite client. I could see very early on how effective the staff over there at UVA came to a conclusion, collaborated even with difference of opinions, and very quickly and respectfully came to conclusions. So this really made for a very wonderful effort. And you can see that while I led the design effort, you can't ever have a space that nice without a client that wonderful. So that not only made for a fabulous project and the process, which to me the process is always the most important, but it also made for a fabulous end result. And now as an end user, I'm actually an end user in that space. So I'm able to really feel and walk around and see where things worked and where things could have improved. So it's really been wonderful. And then having the opportunity to be in the space and being able to communicate with my fellow classmates and hear feedback from them has just been a very valuable experience. So I think the takeaway is having been exposed to these stakeholders really sealed the deal, and seeing how they collaborated and worked on a daily basis. And I can tell you that this is exactly how they treat us in the class. It's just an ongoing, wonderful experience with everyone that I've met at Darden.
We've been trying to figure out how to describe the space on the podcast. It's hard to capture the view, needless to say, here in audio form. But nevertheless, 30th and 31st floor of an office tower in Roslyn, which is Arlington, Virginia, for those of you who are less familiar with the Washington, D.C. area. I think it's fair to say you can basically take a tour of the Capital Region without ever leaving our space. You can see everything from the National Cathedral to the Capitol, all the memorials on the National Mall. You can see Arlington National Cemetery, the Pentagon, and beyond. What was that like the first time you walked into the space and kind of realized the bones of what you were working with?
So the couple of points with that. For one, I'd have to also thank the brokerage team and the client for selecting such a wonderful space. I mean, to have the opportunity to have those top two floors even from the beginning is a very lucky event. So when I walked in there, I have to say, my first moment of excitement was when I walked in there after demo, because you could really see the wide views all the way around. The other exciting point was walking the Darden faculty through this process of, okay, guys, we love Charlottesville. Jeffersonian design has a fabulous history to it. But how can we take this fabulous institution and replicate it in a way that works in an office building? In the DC area, how can we capitalize on that? And I think walking through the process with everyone of how we don't want to close up everything all around the perimeter. We want to find ways to open up that perimeter and bring in the light and bring in the views. They were, again, the Darden staff was extremely open to walking through this process. And the end result when you walk in is really just a fabulous impact of light, views. There's sounds all around with people collaborating in spaces that you can see and hear. So all around, it just makes for a very interactive space. I would also mention it's a hybrid space. So it's a classroom setting. It's a hospitality setting. It's an office, also has an office component. So as a team, we all work very hard to really make this an overlapping, open, interactive space.
I'm very interested to sort of hear a little bit more about taking, UVA, which has more of sort of a classical sensibility with the main buildings on grounds, for example, in Charlottesville, and even the Darden School, and translating it for, you know, the Washington, D.C. area, and ultimately what's a really modern space? How do you lead people through this process and kind of get people to a place where they feel comfortable with an idea of a much, much more modern space, one that has all these clean lines and glass and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. You know, again, and something that's reinforced in my MBA is this idea of listening. You know, the first key is listening. So understanding where everyone is at. And so I had to really understand first where the staff, you know, everyone was at in terms of their experience on the grounds in Charlottesville. So first going through the process of what we call programming, but also a little bit more of a workplace strategy, if you will, and understanding, okay, this is where you're at. Could we maybe do something slightly differently? So walking through these questions with them, hearing their responses, and then going through what we call in the design industry a vision session. So, okay, so we have these ideas. What might that look like? So it's a process of listening to the stakeholders and then creating a process where we can get buyout and approval. And I think without any of those, you know, with if you miss some of those steps, you lose the, you know, you might have the risk of really just people not getting it and being on board. So that was the process we all took. And again, that takes a very willing and smart and collaborative client. And I'm so excited they were like that, because the space, the end space, really is exactly what we were hoping for. And we're also now hearing it from the students, visiting lectures. It really is working in exactly how we planned.
I want to go back to something you said earlier in our conversation about your interest in integrative thinking and sort of roles and responsibilities. I am personally less familiar with design and architecture and the work that people do. But is it common for people to kind of do one thing, and maybe this sort of integrative approach is less common? I'm curious about sort of arc of your career and whether your path has been somewhat singular.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I think it's fair to say that my path has been overwhelmingly amazing, but also challenging at times. In my industry, often people are supposed to be in one discipline or the other. I think the difference was what I did was take a bit of a longer term approach. So carefully getting my expertise in one discipline and kind of learning slowly what some of the questions were on the other side, or where those barriers occurred between the two disciplines. And then when I felt ready and strong enough on one discipline, I would move to another. So taking the longer term road where I had a vision of being able to speak between the disciplines has served me well. And so now, for example, I don't fear being able to communicate with the interior designers what the architects prefer, and likewise the opposite. So, and I also understand better what the engineers need, what MEP needs. So listening over time between these different disciplines makes for a great success at the end. The last thing I would say is with the MBA, another great example is I was recently on a project where if the design team had been more integrated in the loan structuring agreement in this big project, I believe that there would have been a more streamlined process, and the client would have saved a lot of money on understanding better what goes into a phase one and a phase two giant project. So there's another moment where typically the design and construction team is more separate from the business side. And I think those moments, what we call thresholds in our leadership team, or we also call it fault lines, that's where having a better understanding of either side really gets people to the table faster and can streamline the process.
I'd like to ask you a question that I know is likely on many of our listeners' minds. Because we oftentimes talk with people who are trying to figure out when's the right time to do something like this. Everybody has a very full plate. You're trying to figure out how to fit school into your life. And how did you know it was the right time for you to go back to school to get your MBA?
That's a great question. especially considering I had been thinking about this for quite some time. I think everyone is different for one. So everyone comes to the table with different goals. And so, but for me personally, it took me a little bit of time to, again, research different, you know, I was busy on understanding different disciplines, but with the end goal of hoping to do that MBA. And I think at the end of the day, what really drove my decision was having the opportunity to be on the ownership side and really seeing those numbers come through. And, you know, sometimes when you're on the design side, you don't necessarily know where the budget's coming from. And that impacts the design. It can impact the structure of your team. As we see currently during our times now, you might not understand some of the economics around that if with an MBA, it can help. And that's exactly what I did. So I got to a point where I wanted the understanding of that economics and being able to at least have the ability to have the conversation. I might not be an expert in everything, but I really can now sit at the table and understand why a budget was created through conversation and collaboration. And so I really, through this long journey, it's just the icing on the cake, and it feels very good right now for me. So the only trick I would say is weighing that with family. It has been very hard in the sense, like, how do you do that with two small kids? So let's talk about that for a moment. You know, I had to figure out when it was best for my family too, because I like to say that they're getting an MBA as well. It takes a supportive family. It also takes strength, and my time is very limited. So I have to be honest and vulnerable and know when I really need to reach out. And I also picked Darden because I know it would be a collaborative program, and it is. So I'm able to reach out to my classmates, to my professors if I need help. And that's the only way I've been able to get through it. It's just being open, honest, and knowing when I can and knowing when I can't do something and really reaching out when I need help.
So, how have your classmates been in terms of, you know, when you've needed help or you needed assistance? I think we always, as admissions folks, are hearing about student-led review sessions or, you know, people on learning teams helping each other out. But what's been your experience?
Yes, you know, it's been incredible, and I know other programs are fabulous too, but, you know, this program, I learned early on through the design process that there are these learning teams, and the learning teams have been essential in the sense where it's information sharing, it's a mini collaboration session, it's typically around six people, you meet people at the very beginning, and you just create lifelong friendships. So anywhere from a micro level in your teams to then even within the classroom, you know, we have a good faith policy in our classroom setting. So everyone has really respected that. And when we're sitting in a class, and if I have a question, my professor might answer, or I might have another classmate who answers that for me, and then might follow up with information and I didn't even ask for it. So, you know, and then on top of that, what I've learned is everyone comes to the table with these expertise. So you have people who are experts at accounting, experts at decision analysis, and they are leading big groups of, you know, big sessions with our co-students and really teaching us along the way, along with the staff and the faculty. So there's so many opportunities to learn from everyone that I've been in contact with. And the other thing is, not only are people coming at it with a different angle, but people people give you different resources. So we all learn in different ways. And so really getting different ways of learning, whether it's a printout, whether it's something on the internet, whether it's a drawing, whether it's a mind map or a tutoring session. There's just so many ways to learn. And I feel like I have, and I believe again that Darden has facilitated that kind of culture in order to do so.
It's great to hear that. I think we talk about the community environment. We talk about this not being a transactional MBA experience, even for busy working professionals, that choosing Darden is about being invested both in the classroom and outside the classroom in your MBA experience. But it's always great to hear firsthand from students that that's been their experience. It feels affirming.
Absolutely. It's 100%. And I saw that early on in the design process, and now seeing this firsthand with my classmates, I just could not ask for anything more. It really has been amazing.
So you're a little over or right around 1 year into the program. How does it feel, Diane, to be basically halfway done?
Wow. I haven't quite come to that conclusion yet. I think about it momentarily, but I don't like to think about it too much because the pace is still strong. So I need to keep up with this pace. But I think one thing that's nice is, again, having gone through a year, wow, you can see so clearly now all the different resources that one has and how you can really pop into different aspects of the education and your classmates and understand. And at this point, I really know where I can go to get information and collaborate and my friends. And it's just, that's a fabulous point to be at. So there's no fear anymore. There's no unknown. It really is. It's here and it's working. It's a machine that's working. I think another thing that's exciting is kind of focusing in a little more. So we're starting to get some more electives in and having gone through some of the really tough courses. So, you know, someone like me, I forgot to mention, I'm trying to also bridge a lot of my gaps. You know, I'm a strong designer, but I have not had accounting and all these other classes. I mean, let's be clear, I am trying to fill the gaps. So these, you know, by now I've really gone through macro and economics, microeconomics, you know, accounting one, accounting two, finance. And so these core courses have been fabulous. And now I'm looking forward to weaving that into some of the electives this coming up year.
When did you start to feel settled in the program? Like we've got this figured out as a family. I kind of understand my schedule. I feel comfortable with the content. When did you start to feel, like you had things under control, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say by October, you know, we were all asked to be on campus on August before the program started. And I would say by October, I was in a pretty good pace because the FaceTime is very, so we've, you know, we have the FaceTime on the campus in Charlottesville, and then we also have FaceTime in Roslyn and also online. So by October, we're really integrated. The professors have gotten us into a good pace. And then by January, we're really humming along. I think what threw everything off a little bit is the whole COVID experience in terms of, you know, I'd just gotten a really good rhythm going. And then that kind of changed everyone's experiences in terms of their timing. But I think what's been amazing is with that, we've dug even deeper and even harder in how this all works and our concerns and, you know, our successes and how we can really pull together even more closely. And that's exactly what we've done. So now I think we're all back in a better rhythm with a lot of listening from the staff, a lot of listening from the students, and how we can make this the best experience. And I think we've all grown even tighter and the program's gotten even stronger through this. So
you're right. We are all having to try to adapt during COVID-19. Our class of 2022, we're recording this in early August. They have orientation followed by LR1 in August as well. It will be virtual for them. And then in quarter one, quarter two, we're currently planning some hybrid delivery as well as virtual sessions. So trying to provide as much in-person delivery as possible, but we're having to operate within social distancing guidelines and health and safety guidelines. Sans Family Ground, so more limited in terms of what we can do. But what's been awesome and is to see your class stick together, Diane, and the ways that you continue to support each other and stay engaged during this time. And we've also seen that from our incoming class, too. They have a Slack channel, WhatsApp, a group, all these kinds of things. And they are very, very connected even before they start. And so even though the start of the program will be, you know, virtual and there will also be these hybrid moments, so different than in a quote unquote normal year. Still great to see that community form and come together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's just as another great example of how UVA works. You know, they listen hard, they react. We find ways of doing better. We react again. It's just. From the very beginning, you can see these amazing traits coming through time and time again, and it just makes for a stronger experience overall.
Yeah. So you mentioned now being on the ownership side of things. How did you make that transition from design to ownership side? What was the process?
Oh, that's a great question. Seeking. So I learned during my times as a designer that not everyone prefers one who wants to maybe learn something new. So I had to delicately find ways to reach out and reach out to folks where I could get some feedback and understand what they're doing for the ownership side and how could I get there and what value do I bring to the table? So it was a process that where I had to do some research and identify what might be a good fit and what I could bring to the table. So eventually I was able to get that opportunity with some great folks where, they basically let me try and I jumped to the opportunity and it was an experience that really leveraged all my learning skills and it just kind of reinforced all the strengths I'd already built and then what else could I learn, and that's really where the MBA came next. So it was really just a process of reaching out. Some people not calling back, some people being really interested. So trying to find that alignment and being in and having the courage to do so, even when someone says, oh, there's no way you can do that. Or, oh, only X does this, or you don't want Y. You just really keep going.
So I'm hearing a lot of persistence there. I'm also, and resilience as well. I'm also hearing a fair amount of networking. Was the career team helpful to you through that process?
Yes, I think that, I think in terms of, that's a good point. So let's talk about that a little bit. The career team is very strong too, which, gosh, hasn't even been mentioned in this conversation, but they are there for the students. And it's almost something where, again, they offer different ways of getting at this. So they give you resources. They also dialogue with you. We have career coaches, which you can select from. So for me, it was a little more of dialoguing. So how can I dialogue better? And just having those interactions and back and forth strengthened me when I went to go after something. And the networking is there as well. And you just have to tap into it. So that is another example of how Darden gives students different resources in different ways to get at what it is that you need. And that's exactly what they did.
So as we mentioned, you're basically at the halfway point of the program. When you look back on who you were before you started the program and who you are now, how do you think you've grown or developed over the past year or so?
Oh, gosh. Yes, you know, well, for one, I just wanted to also mention that one of the professors mentioned at the very beginning, when you're sitting in a classroom with all these different people with these different backgrounds, I mean, the amount of learning that happens in any session is so great because of everyone who's sitting in the room. And this is exactly what I was hoping for. I was really hoping to hear from other people and collaborate. And, you know, I come to the table with some ideas, but what is it that's driving other people? And that's exactly what I'm getting. It was a point where that's really what I needed. And so now I feel very strong about that. And, I just feel very comfortable in knowing that people come to the table with different ideas and different backgrounds and why and how can we all collaborate together. I think I've also been humbled a lot, even more so. I mean, I knew I had these gaps, but wow, when you see how much knowledge there is to learn in accounting and finance, I mean, I've been humbled not only by what I needed to learn, but by how my classmates reach out to me or my faculty, the professors. So I've been humbled by both my lack of knowledge and what I've learned, and then also what everyone else has given to me in order to learn that.
So you mentioned this process of pursuing your MBA being a family affair. When you talk to your kids about what you're doing, what do they say? What do they think about your MBA experience?
Yeah, so I have two boys, 1 4 and 1 9. And I think it's been great because especially for my, I think for my 4-year-old, he still doesn't quite understand. So we have an ongoing joke with everyone in the class where, you know, he might be sitting next to me and literally painting my arm in blue, or I can't, there's really not much I can do about it if I'm alone or watching the little guy. But so he's been very patient as best as he can. My 9-year-old, it's been so fun because I would say in the past 3 months in particular, he's really starting to ask questions. He's asking me questions that, you know, oh, mommy, like, how did you get into design and why, you know, what, and now you're, you know, what is it that you're doing the MBA for? And oh, it's for, you know, to also integrate it with business. Oh, and because you could do X, Y, and Z. And I mean, to have this conversation with a 9-year-old is so interesting. And so you can see his curiosity already peaking at, you know, a very early age. And how do you go after something and why and what does that mean? So he's been inquisitive in particular about it lately. It's been fun, but you know, they've had to be very patient and understand that I've got demands. And so we do the best we can either with family or with gracious sitters and keeping them busy as well. Got to keep everyone busy and happy. Otherwise it just it goes out of sync. So when it goes out of sync, we got to recalibrate. That's what we do.
You make such a good point about everybody getting the MBA together. I think about graduation and in that time, so many students who are doing this with families, significant others, partners, you know, everybody shares in that moment. I'm sure that will be your experience too with your family.
Oh, thanks so much. I hope so.
So last question, we always wrap up with the same question. What tips or advice do you have for our listeners out there, prospective students considering Darden's executive MBA program?
Oh, that's great. I would say a couple things. One is don't fear it. If it's something you want to go after, you got to go after it. Number two, know there's a network. So in particular, for example, women, we've created a very strong network here. So having that comfort level and knowing that you have support, not only of your women classmates, but of all your classmates. Respect is number one in the Darden classroom. So going after it, knowing that it will be, that it will work, I think is key. I think the value of it too. So what is the value of an MBA? Well, I'm here to say that it is huge, because I can actually come to the table now with resources and an understanding that I couldn't before. And I feel confident, and that's going to really affect and shape my life. I'm confident of that. So I wouldn't take back anything. And I'm so happy that I went ahead and did it. So I would just say, and then the last thing is just being honest with yourself, you know, being honest with where you're at. And if you can't do it this year, maybe do it next year. And if you can't do it in this state, do it in another state. I mean, you have to try to really be honest. You'll know when you're ready. You know, you'll just know. But you got to go for it.
I can't think of a better way to end this podcast, Diane. So always great spending time with you. I know that these are really busy times for our students. And so appreciative of your taking time out to share more about your story and your experience with our listeners. Best of luck in quarter seven. And, you know, thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brett.
And that was my interview with Diane Arose, a second year student in our executive MBA program. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.